God. Let's pray, and then we will look into God's Word together. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time to be gathered and for the privilege of worshiping as a family and focusing upon you and your goodness to us and the many blessings we enjoy. We thank you for family, and we pray that the Transformers Sunday School time will be a blessing to the children who are attending. And we pray that as we continue on here looking into your word, that you would bless and encourage us or challenge us. And we ask that you would speak through your holy word now. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I have you turn to Ephesians chapter 6? And we have read this already in the worship service, but I want to read it over one more time. So Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Now, regarding the powers of this dark world, the spiritual forces of evil, and the devil, C.S. Lewis has wisely observed in his book, The Screwtape Letters. And if you've not read the book, I'd encourage you to get a copy of it and read it. It's a tremendous book. But in there, he said this. He said there are equal and distance. The other, and to feel unhealthy interest in them. Now, I developed this short series of messages on spiritual warfare to inform you or to remind you that Satan is real, that he is not a myth, that he is not simply the notion of evil personified. He is a true entity. And along with his agents of evil, he has garnered the conscious and the unconscious devotion of many people. And people need to be delivered from this devotion to the evil one. As Christians, we need to be warned about the things that would redirect our devotion from Christ to Satan. This can happen subtly. Maybe often we are unaware of how we are distracted, but we need to pay attention. We need to be careful. One of the more prevalent lures employed by Satan to redirect devotion, to gain devotion for himself, is through what we call the occult or occult practices. And that's what I'd like to do a survey of this morning, so that we are more familiar with some of the tactics that the evil one uses, some of the schemes that he uses to redirect devotion onto himself. Now, the term occult comes from a Latin word meaning things hidden. Things hidden. Now, the occult general characteristics. First of all, or hidden. Secondly, the occult And thirdly, the occult resources. Now, there are three general classifications within the occult. There is fortune telling, there is necromancy, which is also called spiritism or spiritualism, and then there is Satan, witchcraft, and magic. Now, in this series, and today, I'm only going to speak about the first two classifications within the occult, because the third, although it certainly exists, it's not nearly as prevalent or as blatant in our society as these first two classifications or examples happen to be. So I want to talk about fortune telling, and I want to talk about necromancy, and then I want to talk about what the scriptures say in terms of understanding or relating to these schemes of the evil one. So first of all, fortune telling. It's also called divination. It is the craft of forecasting or exploring the future with the help of supernatural means. Now, let's be upfront about it. Many fortune tellers today are simply con artists. Okay, we know that. They are people who use the power of suggestion or trickery to convince or to deceive other people. But there are some fortune tellers who invoke and by demonic sources. Now, there's a variety of means used in fortune telling, and I'll give you a quick list of some of those means. There is the reading of tarot cards. These are elaborately illustrated cards that are used in fortune telling. They supposedly reveal secrets about the future. And so cards, they represent things such as the human psyche, the spirit, the soul, vitality and body and death. And the fortune teller will take these cards, they're chosen at random, and then they're spread out to form patterns, and then they are read or interpreted to reveal the future of a person's life. Another mechanism is the reading of tea leaves. Here the fortune teller interprets the shapes and the relative patterns or positions that are left by the tea leaves at the bottom of a cup. There is also something called palmistry. Here the fortune teller forecasts the future by analyzing the shape and the markings of a person's hands and fingers. There's also something called crystallomancy, and that is gazing into a crystal ball. We're not talking about the Christmas snow globe, but some kind of a crystal ball. A fortune teller enters into kind of a trance-like state, and supposedly by gazing into the ball is able to view future events. There's also something called psychometry. Psychometry consists of a fortune teller holding in his hands some material object and having the ability to foretell the future of that person. Another thing is called I Ching. The I Ching is based upon a Chinese book dating back to about 1000 BC. The fortune teller uses I Ching to gauge the flow and the yang. Often there are future and to determine the course of future actions. Another scheme of the devil is astrology. The popularly held belief in astrology is that the stars and other celestial bodies on Earth. Astrology most often consists of a system of purporting to a person's personality and predict future events in their life based upon the positions of the sun, the moon, and other celestial objects at the time of their birth. Now, astrology probably originated in Mesopotamia in the second millennium BC. So it has an extremely long history. As a matter of fact, it is so popular that even though as a Christian you have or you should have disavowed it, my guess is that the majority of you know whether you're is that Gemini or Leo or Scorpio or like me, Aquarius, or one of the other eight. That's how popular astrology is in our society. Now, because horoscopes are so exceedingly popular, I'm going to spend just a few extra moments in discussing them before I move on to the next main category called necromancy. Not only does the Bible prohibit giving attention to astrology and horoscopes, science actually supports what the Bible to say about astrology being false. Science has shown that astrology is completely false for at least five reasons. Let me give you the five reasons why it is scientifically false. First of all, astrology actually shift. For example, the constellations have actually shifted about 30 degrees in the last 2 years. Now, what no answer to that. Secondly, astrology now I think most of us understand that that's incorrect. Additional planets, once unobservable to the naked eye, are now known to exist. There's a third reason why it's false. It's false because this theory was false, and we know that the center. Fourth reason is because there are many systems of astrology which are actually diametrically opposed. China interpret it. And so they're opposed, they're contradictory to one another. And then the fifth reason why astrology is false is because there's not even agreement amongst astrologers as to whether there are old or there's no agreement between them. So which one is correct? Well, we know none of them are correct, but if you believe they are, which one do you choose? 8, 12, 14, or 24? Now, simply put, astrology, horoscopes, it's all contradictory, it's insupportable, unreliable, and therefore, to conclude, it's just a foolish sham. It's nonsense. But the question remains, even though is it harmless? And at this point, I would say no. Even though it's foolish, it is not harmless. It is not harmless because the enemy conveniently uses astrology and horoscopes to draw people and instead look into the stars. He draws people instead trusting in the stars. Now don't be fooled, and don't allow to the stars, to the horoscopes. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 19. God speaks very bluntly, saying, when you look up and see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all don't be enticed to look to the stars. In Isaiah 47, verses 12 to 14, God mocks the Babylonians for astrology. In God's voice when he says this. He says, keep on then with your magic spells and with your many sorceries which you have led. Perhaps you will succeed. Perhaps you will cause terror. All now, although astrology fails scientific testing and other fortune-telling methods are often nothing more than games and hoaxes or parlor tricks, there is still sometimes an element of the supernatural at work. Satan and demons fabricate evidences, or they insinuate some truths into these practices and use them to deceive some people. And God warns, be careful. Do not be deceived. The purpose of the evil one, the reason for his schemes, for the deception, is to draw people into devotion to anyone or anything other than the one true God. Instead of looking to God for help and direction, the enemy has people reading horoscopes and consulting fortune tellers to receive guidance, but they are only being deceived. Now, the next main category is what is called necromancy, also called spiritism or spiritualism, and that is communication with the dead. Necromancy is based on the belief that when a person dies, he does not experience annihilation, he does not experience physical reincarnation, but rather he continues to live. So believed, may communicate with a person living in the physical world, and this is accomplished through me, are usually the voice through which the spirit or sometimes mediums are able to call. And a spirit self-presents or reveals itself. Now, this supposed communication with the dead occurs through a variety of methods. And I'm going to list some of those methods now. And I say supposed, okay? Because the Bible, and I'll get to this a little bit later on, but the Bible clearly indicates that the dead cannot communicate with the living. Only demons can communicate. Now, here are some of the channels of communication. There are seances. A seance is a meeting of a group of people who, usually sitting in a circle in a dark room, attempt to communicate with the spirit world. A medium of and her personality simulates that of the spirit or the dead person. Those are seances. Another method is telepathy. And telepathy is simply communication from one mind to another mind without actual verbal exchange. Then there is clairvoyance. Clairvoyance is the psychic ability to perceive things beyond physical reality and to describe future events. There's also ESP, or extrasensory perception. ESP refers to the ability to perceive an event or an idea through means beyond the five. It's also the sixth sense. So ESP is called the sixth sense. It may be practiced in a variety of would be full of ESP. There's also something called telekinesis. Telekinesis is the movement of physical Next, apparitions. This would be things like poltergeists or ghosts. The manifestation or the appearance of a spirit being is sometimes invited by a medium, but sometimes the spirit reveals itself without invitation. And this is sometimes what happens in the haunting of a house. Where a house is haunted, a spirit has revealed itself in that home. And then there is this next one. Ouija boards. This game is one of the most Hasbro. Go to a party and sometimes the game is pulled out. As a kid, I remember going to parties and this game was being pulled out, but it is more than a party game. The very purpose of this game, of the Ouija board, is to contact a spirit. And sometimes a spirit happily obliges and communicates a message by moving the hands of a player to point to words or to numbers and to letters. Now, like fortune telling, there's an awful lot of practices, but again, there is also danger. The danger is that the spirit world and the spirits do sometimes work in and through these things, but rather than evil spirits or demons whose purpose is to deceive, enslave, lead astray, and destroy people. Through necromancy, the enemy encourages belief and trust in anyone or anything but God. Now, I was thinking about this. I suppose if the enemy was the federal election, I would suppose the you see, or maybe south of the border, you see, the enemy, the devil, he is an anyone but schemer. So his soul anyone but God. Now the Bible is very clear that it is communication between those who have passed or the dead and the living. In Luke chapter 16, you will recall who had died and gone to Hades made a who he said that they communicate with evil spirits or demons. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 and 10, we read that the coming of the Lord will be signs and wonders, and in those who are perishing. The purpose of the occult is to deceive and draw people away from the one true God. Now, I want to quickly, in wrapping up this morning, read some passages from the Old Testament. And I'm going to read, first of all, in Deuteronomy and then go into Leviticus. So if you want to follow along, see what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 13, and I'm going to read the first five verses. If a prophet or one who and if the son keep his command and going to read at verse 9 and following. When you enter the let no who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or cast spells, or who before the Lord your God. The nations you will dispossess. To do so. You see, participating in occult activities, whether in jest or seriousness, has figuratively and literally grave consequences. Do not do it. Now go back to Leviticus chapter 19. Verse 26. Do not eat any meat with the blood still in it. Do not practice divination or sorcery. Do not cut the hair at the sides of your head or put tattoos on your beard. Do not cut your bodies for the dead or put tattoo marks on yourselves. I am the Lord. Do not degrade your and be filled with wickedness. Observe my Sabbath speak out, spiritists, for you will. Chapter 20, verse 6. I will set my face against the person who turns to mediums and spiritists to prostitute himself by following them, and I will cut him off from his people. Down to verse 27. A man or woman. Heads. 1 Chronicles 10, 13 and 14. There we are told that Saul died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. He did not keep the word of the Lord and even consulted a medium for guidance, and did not inquire of the Lord. So the Lord put him to death and turned the kingdom over to David, son of Jesse. One final passage. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19, we read, when men tell you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? The most important objection to the occult, and the warning that must be given and heeded, can be drawn from this verse. Should not a people inquire of God? Why consult anyone or anything other than true God? Should not a people inquire of God? Yes, they should. Instead of putting hope on now, as you encounter others in your daily walk of life who maybe are seeking direction or meaning or trying to find answers for their lives through occult practices, take the opportunity to invite them to forsake such practices in favor of knowing the one true. God. And as a follower, from an only Savior. All the words of wisdom that are found in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your He shall direct your paths. Trust in the Lord, and He will know. Stars. No one needs mediums. No one needs the occult. No one needs the devil and demons. All you need is the one true God and Savior. Anyone or deceit, destruction, and death. So acknowledge Him. He will direct your paths. Let us pray. Father God, I pray that if anyone here has dabbled in the occult, even to the point of reading horoscopes, that you would forgive such behavior and help us to reform our lives and put our trust completely in you. As we encounter those who do not know you yet, but are seeking for direction and answers in life, and they may be dabbling in the occult, we pray that you'd give us the opportunity and give us the courage to speak into their lives, to challenge them to put their trust in you, and to find their hope and their help and their direction through their relationship with you. Help us to be successful in this spiritual warfare that we are daily engaged in. Help us to resist and to push back against the schemes of the evil one, for our sake, for the sake of family and friends and neighbors and people in our city. And I pray all this for the expansion of your kingdom and for the honor and the glory of Jesus our Savior. And this I pray in His name. Amen. Let's stand together now and sing the doxology. Praise God. Now may the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Jesus Christ, may He support and strengthen and establish you today, tomorrow, and always. To Him be the power and the honor and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Again, thank you for sharing your time with us off in the side room, our refreshments. Enjoy that and some fellowship with one another.